And now, from approximately coast to coast, it's the Bob and Ray Public Radio Program.
Thank you very much. It is just that.
Yeah, it's the Bob and Ray Public Radio Program.
I'm Bob.
Look, I'll be Ray then, huh?
All right, okay.
Now, we have many new features, some of the old, and, of course, our Bob and Ray family, Webley Webster, Wally Ballou, Mary McGoon.
Well, we introduce some of them right now. Webb, you're standing by the closest. Webley Webster.
How do you do? It's a pleasure to be here, I'm sure.
You can save your applause until they've all come forward here. Mary McGoon.
Yes. Fine.
Wally Ballou. Yes. Hello, everybody.
Well, it's really going to be wonderful. And it's going to be beamed by a satellite, I'm told. What is that? What's that mean?
I don't know how it's going to get here, Webb, but it will somehow. And here's more great news.
Ah, yes, there's good news today, friends.
Good news for you folks, but bad news for us.
We've done it again, and our loss is your gain.
See, in anticipation of the Easter season, we laid in a large supply of chocolate rabbits.
Now, they were the best chocolate rabbits money could buy. Each one was genuine chocolate, all chocolate.
Each one had a purple ribbon tied around his or her neck.
Each one was edible, real edible.
But through the carelessness of one of our alert uniformed attendants, these chocolate rabbits were stored next to the steam pipes in our overstocked surplus warehouse.
So we now are able to offer, at a ridiculously low price, exactly 20 gross of genuine, laughably edible, all-chocolate wobblies.
Now, these wobblies are not only appropriate for any season, but the kiddies will have great fun trying to guess what the wobblies are supposed to represent.
Now, some of you youngsters will recognize dinosaurs, wombats, and anteaters.
Others will see pterodactyls, vultures, and their mother-in-laws.
But friends, this is backed up by the Bob and Ray unconditional guarantee. Not one of the kiddies will know these were once rabbits.
Any wobbly mistaken for a wabbit can be returned to the Bob and Ray Overstock Surplus Warehouse, where the full purchase price will be laughingly returned.
Never again do we expect to be able to make this amazing offer.
The warehouse engineers have already removed the steam pipes, and with them, our alert uniformed attendant.
So be the first in your neighborhood now to surprise your kiddies. And remember, each of these edible all-chocolate wobblies has somewhere in it a real purple ribbon.
That makes for an extra surprise that'll really give the little nippers a bang. Also pull out any loose teeth they may have been trying to dislodge.
So write immediately now to Windfall, New York, New York.
And say, we'll bite. We have with us today our Bob and Ray financial advisor, Dr. Rex Latchford, to answer your questions about investment. Doctor, I'm afraid we can only allow a few minutes for this feature because we didn't know you were planning to come by today.
Well, that's a direct result of my latest money-saving idea. I didn't call ahead because I had the phone taken out of my office. Now, I expect to save at least $25 a month that way.
Well, I guess that'll add up over the years if you can operate your office without a phone. But isn't it true, you told us last time that you use the title doctor because you're a veterinarian?
That's right. However, I don't need a phone because my business is all mail order, see? I sell good luck charms that light up in the dark and other novelties like that.
Seems like an unusual sideline for a veterinarian.
Well, I'm not exactly a practicing veterinarian. I dropped out of school a few semesters before I got my degree, see?
Well, how can you use the title doctor at all, then?
Well, I don't know. Just get started some way, and people pick it up.
I mean, kind of like a nickname,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, Doc.
Doc.
Yeah, like a nickname. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here, even though we weren't expecting you, and I can see our phones are lighting up already with calls from listeners seeking your advice on how to invest their life savings, so why don't you just take over?
Well, fine. I always enjoy talking to people who have extra money they don't know what to do with. Hello? You're on the air with Dr. Rex Latchford.
Hello. I've recently made a large profit selling tickets in the California State Lottery, and I'm looking for some place to invest it.
All right. Incidentally, I didn't know that California had a legalized state lottery now.
It doesn't. That's how I've been able to make such a large profit selling tickets in it.
I see. Well, now that I've had the opportunity to learn more about your business and its objectives, I think you might make a good client for my underwater salvage program. It's an ideal tax shelter.
Maybe. How does it work?
Well, you send me a check for $5,000. And if you don't hear from me again, the loss is tax deductible.
I don't mean that part. I figured that's how it worked. I mean, how does underwater salvage work? I don't want to get caught in some fly-by-night deal, you know.
Oh, this procedure is well established. A diver will be sent down into the waters off the Florida coast to recover gold from a sunken Spanish galleon. We know it's there.
You mean a guy wearing a diving outfit will do this?
Well, the investment prospectus doesn't mention what he plans to wear, but this is a multi-million-dollar project, so I'm sure they won't just buy him a ready-made suit off the rack.
Okay, I want to make sure this is all going to be done first class. I'll get my check in the mail to you tonight.
Fine. Now, we'll move along to our next caller. Hello. You're on the air with Dr. Rex Latchford.
Hi, I'm Big Ed Furnose of Appleton, Wisconsin. I recently retired from my job at the overall factory up in Oshkosh.
So now you're seeking a way to invest your savings for maximum income, is that it?
No, I lost all my savings several years ago when the Sheboygan and Milwaukee Outskirts Railroad went bankrupt, so I haven't got a dime. That's my problem.
Well, I think you've diagnosed it right. That's definitely your problem, so we'll move on now for one final quick call. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Rex Latchford.
Hello, I'm calling long distance from Laramie, Wyoming.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's the other Rex Latchford who used to live in Laramie.
You sure came back with that remark awful fast.
Well, I just wanted to make that point clear.
I guess you've gotten calls like this before since the other Rex Latchford also worked that scam about hunting for Spanish gold.
No, this is the first I've ever heard of anything like that. However, we seem to be running out of time
here. I think I'll start the paperwork to have you extradited to Wyoming just in case you turn out to be the same guy.
Well, suit yourself. And now, friends, until my next broadcast, which may come to you from either Costa Rica or Brazil, this is Dr. Rex Latchford wishing you all a good day and good investing.
Now that moment you've all been waiting for has arrived when we again play a portion of our secret Bob and Ray mystery tune. Now this is your big chance to win a whole array of valuable prizes.
That's right. No one could correctly identify the mystery tune last week, so that means our giant jackpot has now risen to $15. And it's just waiting here for some lucky listener to collect.
Well, that big cash prize is only the beginning, friends. A number of businessmen here in our neighborhood have also donated some really wonderful merchandise gifts. So if you're the first to correctly identify our mystery tune, we'll be sending you a giant jar of Chunky-style peanut butter, a dozen legal-sized file folders, a full pound of 10-penny nails, and a coupon good for $5 worth of free dry cleaning. Now, those are good prizes.
Now, of course, that dry cleaning prize will be especially nice if the winner happens to live nearby. It's also useful for any out-of-town contestant who may wish to mail his dirty clothes to New York, together with just $3 for return postage and handling.
And speaking of out-of-town contestants, let me say that you're eligible to phone in with your guests on our mystery tune from anywhere in the United States. However, we don't have a toll-free number, and again, this week, we won't be accepting a collect call.
Right, but that's only part of the big news. In addition, those who phone in long distance while we're taking another call may be put on hold for as long as 15 minutes. Thereby experience the thrill of running up a truly impressive charge.
In fact, it could become a long-distance charge you'll want to tell your children and grandchildren about for years to come. So stand by and see if you can identify this mystery tune.
Okay, that's it. That's the clue. That's it. And our phone is still silent. It's amazing to me that no one in the entire country can name that song.
Ray, we really didn't give them much time to call in.
Well, it's not the type of thing a person would have to mull over. You know it or you don't.
Well, wait a minute. I think I... hear the phone now. Apparently, we have a listener who thinks that he or she knows it. Or maybe I'm just hearing bells. I don't know. There it is. It is. Let's find out. Hello?
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 Is this the special Bob and Ray mystery tone phone number which you neglected to mention over the air? And I just had to guess that?
Yes, it is, sir. And I assume you think that you can give me the correct title of the song we just played, right?
Yeah, my bell, okay.
Yes.
Well, I certainly ought to be able to. You see, I wrote that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's entitled My Love Waits for Me in Dubuque.
No, I'm sorry. That's not correct, sir.
What do you mean? I'm telling you I wrote it. It was 1949 or
no.
Maybe it was 1948.
Well, the year doesn't make any difference because...
Wait, just let me straighten you out here. See, I was putting on a college vaudeville show out at Oklahoma State.
Right.
A guy named Wingy Kleinfelder.
All right.
And he wrote this tune, and he asked me to put some words to it, so I did. Oh, that very evening.
Well, that's an interesting story, but we have the true story
well,
and the true
me,
title.
There's one thing I could add here for complete accuracy. The school was still called Oklahoma A&M in those days,
mm-hmm.
but now it's Oklahoma State, to be completely accurate.
I wish you'd been that accurate in identifying the tune, but you weren't. You
no,
definitely
no,
got it wrong.
It goes like this. Oh, my love waits for me in the view. Hold on. That's the one he just played, isn't it?
Well, that's close to the tune, but those aren't the words.
Well, I don't think Wingy Kleinfelder would have given that same melody to anybody else afterward. He never told me if he did.
Well, sir, the original song was written several years before yours, and the record label doesn't mention a Wingy Kleinfelder, I can tell you.
Are you saying that Wingy stole that melody? And I wasted my talents writing words to do it for nothing? I can't believe this.
Well, I didn't want to come right out with it, but that does seem to be what happened, yes.
See, I don't know what to say. It was, he was like a brother to me.
Uh-huh.
And he deceived me.
Well, guess you'll have to put the experience behind you now.
Well, that's not easy to do. I spent 30 years of my life trying to get that song recorded, and nobody would touch it. Now I know why.
Yeah, I guess it would explain that part for you anyway.
If I ever get my hands on Wingy, he's going to pay for this.
Oh, fine, because we're certainly not going to pay for it out of our contest jackpot. But next time, some lucky listener may win it all when we'll once again conduct our big Bob and Ray Mystery Tune Contest. Now join us as we return again to Garish Summit and its endless story of intrigue among the socially prominent. There in stately splendor, far removed from the squalid village below, they fight their petty battles over power and money. As our drama resumes, wealthy Agatha Murchfield is in jail following her unexpected arrest on charges of stock fraud. Suddenly, her hopes rise when she sees family attorney Bowden Pardue enter the cell block. Agatha reaches frantically through the bars and calls out,
I'm down here on the end, Bowden, just beyond the drunk tank.
I'll be along shortly, Agatha. I'm renewing a friendship here with an old law school chum. He tells me he's in the pokey for teaching his wife a thing or two with a meat cleaver.
Well... I'm sure it must be a fascinating story, but I'm the one who paid you the retainer, so move it over here.
Very well, Agatha. I'm on my way.
Well, I must say you took your time about showing up, Bowden. I've been in the clink for almost 12 hours, even though my bail is less than what I spent on a week's supply of floor wax at the mansion.
Well, I apologize for the delay, Agatha. I received your message last night just as I was leaving to take an important client to dinner at Howard Johnson's. I'm sure you can understand.
No, I really don't understand at all, Bowden. In fact, I'm not even sure why I'm here. The police claim I broke the law by spreading rumors that the Murchfield lead mine had started producing silver by mistake. Now, what's wrong with telling a little anecdote like that?
Yeah, I can think of only two things wrong with it, Agatha. First, the story wasn't true. And second, it enabled you to make a $4 billion profit when the stock of Murchfield Lead doubled overnight.
Well, I don't know why it's a crime to get a little bit lucky in the market. Besides, I didn't make up that story about discovering silver at the mine. I originally heard it from you.
Oh, now, Agatha, you mustn't try to grope around in desperation for some feeble alibi. Anyway, your devoted son Rodney is straightening out the whole misunderstanding with the police right now. I'm sure the statement he's giving will clear you completely.
Okay, Mr. Murchfield, run it by me just once more. You say your mother has never been a con artist who caused thousands of small investors to lose their life savings. Is that it?
Well, I don't believe I'd care to go on the record as saying she's never been a con artist who did things like that. I'm just certain that she's been law-abiding all this month.
Okay. Well, your word's good enough for me. After all, you'd have a lot to gain by becoming board chairman of Murchfield Lead if your old lady went to prison. So here, just sign a statement and I'll turn her loose.
Come to think of it, I'd hate to risk putting a dangerous criminal back on the street. Perhaps I'd better have the servants look through Mother's private papers to make sure her activities have all been perfectly legal. I want to be very, very sure about that.
Hey, Wilfred, how come you've got Miss Agatha's private papers scattered all over the room like that? What are you taking out?
I'm not taking anything out, Lloyd. I'm putting in these false documents at Mr. Rodney's request.
Wow, this is powerful-looking stuff. The Agatha Murchfield plan for swindling thousands of small investors out of their life savings. 1,001 good places for wanted criminals to hide. Does anybody else know these documents? They're just phonies?
Of course not. Master Rodney shared his secret with me alone, and he's paying a tidy sum to make certain my lips remain sealed.
Wilfred, I thought I told you to put all those phony documents away. I just finished dusting in here.
Don't be concerned, Lucille. Once I've completed my devious mission, there won't be so much as a fingerprint of mine left in this room.
Well, see that there isn't. I don't want your shady nonsense making double work for me.
Mr. Rodney is a clever chap, Lloyd. That's why I'm delighted to have his assurance that this fake document scheme is foolproof. It makes me certain that we'll be happily rid of Miss Agatha for a long time to come.
Will the judge notice that Rodney's evidence against Agatha is all in his own handwriting? Will romance bloom once Agatha becomes acquainted with her next-door neighbor in the drunk tank? And what about Lloyd the gardener leaving muddy footprints on the library rug? Well, perhaps we'll learn more next time when we hear Bowden Pardew's old chum from law school say,
I'm telling you, the missus just backed into my meat cleaver and got a splitting headache.
That's next week when we resume our endless story of intrigue on Garish Summit.
Friends, do you realize that Valentine's Day is just around the corner? And once again, you'll probably be caught at the last minute trying to think of an appropriate gift for the one who's nearest and dearest to your heart.
Well, this year, it doesn't have to be that way, thanks to the new line of special Valentine's Day gift flypaper being offered by the Einbinder people. Now, each strip is beautifully decorated with bright red hearts and cupids. It will be admired by your loved one all winter and help to keep flies off him or her all next summer.
For a Valentine remembrance that's useful as well as decorative, you couldn't ask for more. But for that perfect gift, you must insist on Einbinder flypaper, the brand you've gradually grown to trust over the course of three generations.
Again now to the Bob and Ray public service feature, Chatting with Dr. Chesney. Now, this is the portion of the show where we invite all of you disturbed listeners to call in and receive some expert advice from the noted psychologist, Dr. Merton Chesney. Say, Doctor, it's good of you to take time from your private practice to be with us today.
I'm interested in your comment that it's good of me to be here. You know, our concepts of good and bad are just personal attitudes that our parents have taught us.
Well, in a general sense, I suppose so. However, I was...
There's no doubt about it. So the only question is why your folks taught you that it's good for a psychologist to leave his practice in order to appear on a radio program.
Well, I don't think that specific issue ever came up when I was a child.
You see what happens? We forget how we were taught our moral standards, but we still accept them as fact. Now, close your eyes and search into your subconscious. You're a two-year-old in your playpen.
No, that's not what I am at all. Now, if you'd be good enough to pick up your phone there, and let's get on with this.
Well, why do you imply that it's good to pick up a phone and bad not to?
I don't know. Just pick it up.
I can see the subject is upsetting you, so I'll let it go for now. Pick up the phone. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Chesney.
Hello. My name is Stanley W. Proxwelder.
Well, sir, we don't want you to give your full name on the air. We'll have to cut that out
okay,
later.
Okay, well, then let's just say I'm an anonymous parent.
All right.
And I'm having discipline problems with my son, Stanley W. Proxwelder Jr.
How old is the boy?
Oh, I guess he's about 8. Maybe still 5. Hey, kid, how old are you?
Your relationship with your son must not be very close if you have
he
to
says
ask.
He's 12, but I don't know. He's a pathological liar.
Well, that's your chief problem, then, I guess. He tells lies, right?
No, that doesn't bother me much. I hardly ever talk to him. The main problem is how he keeps doing these annoying things just because he knows they bother me.
Well, give me an example, could you?
Oh, sure, lots of them. For instance, he always brings home a perfect report card. And I'm sure he does that just because he knows I flunked everything when I was his age. So he likes to give me the needle, you know?
And I suppose you've tried keeping him home from school as punishment.
Yeah, but then he just tries to set the house on fire. That's what I see we're a lot alike, though. See, I'm a professional arsonist.
Well, then I'd suggest you and your son build a relationship by pursuing your mutual interests together. Now I have to turn to another caller here. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Chesney.
Hello. I'm not sure what my problem is, but I know I'm terribly angry.
Well, we mustn't think of anger as being an abnormal condition. It's often an appropriate response, ma'am.
Well, it's certainly appropriate in this case. Ever since your man was out here, I get gas from my water faucet and cold water from the stove. And he charged me $30 just to mess up the pipe.
Now, you have the wrong number, madam. I'm Dr. Merton Chesney, the noted psychologist.
Your man's even put my telephone on the fridge. Now I'm really ticked off.
Well, as I said, that may be an appropriate response. We have time for just one more call, I'm told. All right, you're on the air with Dr. Chesney. Make it fast, please.
Hello? I just heard you tell the first guy not to give his name, and I was awfully glad about that.
Is that because you want to preserve your anonymity, too?
No, it's because I don't remember who I am.
Well, then you're suffering from amnesia. Have you had a blow on the head recently?
Well, how would I remember something like that when I don't even know who I am?
Well, if you had an accident, there might be some evidence around that would help you prove it.
Well, that's true. Hey, Evelyn, have you noticed whether any of my dirty clothes are torn like I'd been in an accident? No, she says not.
Who is that you were just talking to?
My wife.
Why can't she tell you who you are?
Hey, I'll bet maybe she could have done. See, I don't know how to thank you, Doc.
No thanks are necessary. Knowing I've helped you is enough. And on that note, this is Dr. Merton Chesney wishing you all in Radioland good luck and good emotional stability.
Say, we've just had word from correspondent Wally Ballou that there's a fast-breaking news story over in Times Square. So let's get it. Come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Lee Ballou in Times Square. I've discovered that some of my best stories come from merely striking up a conversation with a man in the street. And this gentleman right here looks as if he might have such a story. I wonder if I could have your name, sir, and what you do.
Ward Smith. I'm a cranberry grower. I own cranberry bogs.
You know, it's very interesting to me. I've always been curious to know a little bit about how cranberries are grown. They're such beautiful things when you see them growing. You have to be very careful of frost, don't you?
That's right. You have to flood the bogs if there's a danger of frost, you know, and then you harvest them when they're big and red and ripe and juicy and bitter as anything.
Lee Ballou here in Times Square with a fast-breaking cranberry story. Mr. Smith, after you harvest them, do you have your own processing plant?
Processing plant? Well, what do you mean by that, Mr. Ballou?
I mean, do you have your own factory for squeezing the juice out of the cranberries?
Squeezing juice out of cranberries? See, I never heard of that.
Yeah, to make cranberry juice.
Juice? Out of cranberries?
Yeah, for your cranberry juice cocktail.
Cranberry juice cocktail?
Well, perhaps you make cranberry sauce out of them, is that it?
Say, sauce, what do you mean? Some kind of a dessert you pour over ice cream?
No, you serve that as a side dish with, turkey or meat, something like that.
All right. Gee, you know, you've triggered something here.
You can also make sherbet out of them. That's especially refreshing after a big meal.
Sherbet? Say, look, have you got a pencil? I want to write this stuff down.
Sure. Here you are.
Look out, the wall's collapsing.
Let's see. Can I make glass out of cranberries?
No, I don't think you can make glass out of them.
Give it all to me again,
Mom. Okay. Well, there's cranberry juice.
J-U. How do you spell that?
I-C-E.
I thought...
I-C-E.
I-C-E. I thought there was a J in juice.
J-U. I-C-E.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cranberry sauce. Also, there's cranberry jelly. That's delicious, too.
What would that have? Pectin in it or something?
I don't know what's in it, but it's good.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ballou. You've sure opened my eyes to the uses of cranberries.
Glad I've been able to be of some help. Before I let you go, Mr. Smith, can I ask you just one question?
Sure, sure.
In all these years you've been growing cranberries, what have you been doing with them?
Well, I've been sowing them, say, in a basket like strawberries for cranberry shortcake. And, they don't really sell that way.
I should imagine not. Well, anyway, thank you, Mr. Smith. And this is Broadcasting's Silver-Throated Wally Ballou returning it to the studio. Well, once again, we must wend our way out of Studio B and bid farewell to the Bob and Ray Public Radio Show. And remember, there are more of them coming your way soon on this station.
They're produced for the Radio Foundation by Larry Josephson, who likes a surprise as well as the next guy.
Marjorie Van Halveren did a fine job as associate producer.
As did the Heifetz of the Hammond, our musical director, Paul Tomlin.
Thanks to Al Schaefer, sounding off, and to our production assistant, Stuart Zagnett, for doing his thing.
Engineering was by Mike Moran and Joe Lopes.
Funding in part by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through the NPR Satellite Program Development Fund.
And now this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write it to get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
For a free picture of Bob and Ray, send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Bob and Ray Picture, Box 5000, GPO, New York 10116. That's Bob and Ray Picture, Box 5000, GPO, New York 10116.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
This program was independently produced by the Radio Foundation.
Lives in their twilight years will be comfortable and prosperous.
Well,
by giving all we can.
Wait, Webley, that's going too far. We just want to help keep public radio on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You make it sound like a benefit or something.
But your announcing isn't half bad.
No, it really isn't. It's pretty good.
I can do cutaways, too.
Cutaways?
You know, like, now, here's a friend of mine who lets you know how you can help support this public radio station. And now, while he does that, I, as Paul Talman, will run over to the organ and provide a much-needed musical potpourri.
And you've been listening to, and hopefully enjoying as much as I have, Bob and Ray, the Bob and Ray Public Radio Show on West Virginia Public Radio. If you enjoy this program as much as I do every week, call right now and show your support for this kind of programming. We class it under radio drama. The time period that we air it Monday through Friday is 6:30 to 7, where we air primarily radio drama. It's certainly not music, so we'll call it radio drama this evening, all right? So call with your vote of support for this kind of programming, if indeed you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, don't call. Or call and tell us you don't enjoy it. But we are not only looking for your dollar support, but we are looking for a vote of confidence. We are looking for your opinions on what this public radio system should be programming, your likes and your dislikes. Be prepared to give those when you call. 348-5900. And we'll be right back in just a moment.